Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, ever.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. We've got a fun episode for you guys today. It's our crossover Wednesday. We're going to continue to kind of keep those things going here, even during the offseason. We've got an awesome guest for our today's show. It is Cody Rourke from Locked On Broncos. Cody, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing really well, Brad. Thank you for having me on. And obviously, we are tied in various ways, shapes, and forms due to some former Broncos ties here together. So it's going to be cool to jump on here and talk about the Rams and the LA Broncos, in a sense, with you, man. So very excited. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, definitely. It's been over the past couple of years, it's definitely been a transition both ways on players going to and from and coaches. And we'll talk about that a little bit here today as we'll do a little bit deeper dive into Brandon Staley and where he came from with the Broncos and maybe some of the things that he's pulling from Vic Fangio and that you can kind of help us out with. I also want to say thank you and a big shout out to you because it's your birthday right now. So happy birthday to you. And I appreciate taking some time and spending it with us. And always, like I said, we're going to focus on that defense. I know you've got a lot of stuff going on. Actually, guys, make sure to go give him a follow at Cody Rourke NFL and at Locked On Broncos. He's doing player evaluations. He's breaking down film. Never a dull moment when Cody Rourke is kind of breaking it down. So make sure to follow him out. It's not just for Broncos, but this is all NFL that he's been covering. I've done a great job so far in this offseason, so I'm excited. And then for our listeners, make sure we still got a great week coming up. We got Jake Ellenbogen later this week, kind of focus on some of the things we haven't talked about as far as the Michael Brockers re-signing, Dante Dion coming back, as well as on Friday's episode, we're going to have Jordan Long from Locked On Ducks. That's the Oregon Ducks from our NCAA channel. And we're going to look at potential prospects for the Rams that might be interesting out of Oregon. We just did a mock draft on Monday. If you didn't get a chance, go listen back to that. And one of the players we got was Shane Lemieux from Oregon. So we're going to talk to him a little bit about some of the other guys. There's a linebacker out there as well that might be interesting for the Rams. So we got a bunch of awesome stuff coming up the rest of the week. Don't forget to find us on social. Reach out with questions, comments, concerns. LA_RamblingBears, the personal. Locked On Rams is the show. And then hit the subscribe button. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, Himalaya, wherever there's a podcast, we are there. Subscribe, share with a friend. There's not a lot going on in the sports world, but here in the NFL world, we still have a lot going on as the draft is right around the corner. So a great show today. So with that, let's just kick right into it. With defensive coordinator Brandon Staley in his first year in LA, let's take a closer look at what we can expect in 2020 from that Rams defense. I'm Bear Motter of Locked On Rams. I'm joined by Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos, and this is your lead story. Cody, before we get into the Rams and what they might expect with Staley at coordinator, take me back to his last year there in Denver as linebackers coach. Although he wasn't in control of that defense, you would assume that some of those principles will transfer over. What was your take on how Denver was last year under that system?
You know, it was Vic Fangio's first year, and Brandon Staley is a very, very talented young coach. He obviously spent some time with Vic Fangio in Chicago. Vic brought him over from Chicago to Denver, so that speaks volumes. You know, he's kind of a sponge to Vic Fangio. I would anticipate what you may see with Brandon Staley in terms of principles. You might see a transition to a more solidified 3-4 scheme. And I think with Aaron Donald playing on the interior of that defensive line, look, that's going to help a lot of the issue that I think the Rams had all across the board. And certainly defense is one of those things. But my biggest take on how things went in Denver last year under this system led by Vic Fangio, something that you guys will see a little bit of a blend and a mix of with Brandon Staley. I don't think you're going to see Vic Fangio's entire defense. I think you're going to see a blend of Vic Fangio's defense with Brandon Staley's own kind of philosophy, his own terminology, own spin on things. And certainly it'd be something to kind of look into there. But the Broncos got off to a really slow start in 2019 in terms of getting pass rush pressure on the quarterback. The Broncos registered their first sack of the season in week 4 against Jacksonville. And that wasn't because Brandon Staley wasn't doing anything or Vic Fangio was struggling with the defense. It's just the Broncos faced a lot of teams with a quick passing game. So I think for Brandon Staley, it's going to have to take that learning experience, because the Broncos ended up getting back on track. They had 7 sacks in 12 games from Derek Wolfe. You had Von Miller, who had 8.5 sacks, and then you had a variety of other guys. Shelby Harris with 6 sacks. So the productivity came a little bit later on for this team. Draymond Jones, 2 sacks. So this Broncos defense finally got some things going. I do think that right now, personnel-wise, defensive line, you know, I think with Aaron Donald, it's a good scheme fit. You know, you can line him up in a zero tech, which Vic Fangio did a lot with the Denver Broncos defense. He lined up one of his most disruptive defensive tackles in a zero, push the center back, send the inside linebackers, and play coverage on the backside. So probably a zone cover defense, which would be a lot different with Brandon Staley in comparison to what you guys saw with Wade Phillips.
Yeah, and we'll get to that a little bit later too, because I want to talk to you about kind of the transition from Wade into this new defense. But you mentioned kind of one of the first things you saw, maybe not necessarily due to the defense, but some getting some pressure on the quarterback in the first, you know, handful of weeks in the season. And for the Rams, looking at what they've lost, Clay Matthews was released. You're looking at Dante Fowler Jr. was, you know, let go via free agency. Corey Littleton's gone. So it's going to be interesting as where the Rams are going to get this pressure from. A lot of young guys going to be stepping up, potentially guys in the draft that we'll be looking at. But when you see Brandon Staley kind of already putting his imprint on this defense, yes, the Rams were strapped with capital. Do you think he just wants to kind of bring in his own linebackers, or where do you see him kind of going in direction of that? And you kind of mentioned kind of moving a little bit off of the traditional 3-4 of what you saw with Fangio and him putting his own imprint. But at the linebacker role, how are the Rams going to kind of step up? Is it young guys, or do you think there's guys in this draft that they might be able to go get?
You know, I think it could be a combination of the two. It really depends on what Sean McVay has to say. I know Sean McVay's got a lot of say right now in that Rams organization, and certainly I think a lot of it depends on how much trust he has in a first-year defensive coordinator. That's going to be the biggest thing, too. And for Sean McVay, it is kind of a little bit of a risk. You know, firing Wade Phillips was a tough decision, but then going in and hiring a first-year defensive coordinator, coming off a season where you struggled, and defense kind of struggled, and the offense struggled to get things going a little bit, I'd say it's a big gamble by the Rams. But in terms of that, I do think that they'll probably go with some more, you know, there's some free agent options out there that they may take a look at. You mentioned they lost Corey Littleton. I do think that the NFL draft will probably be an area where I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams use their first pick in the NFL draft in 2020 on a defensive player, specifically maybe a linebacker or a big-time safety. I mean, I think it really just depends. But at this point in time, the blueprint out there for Brandon Staley, it's very unclear. We just know that it could be a blend or a mix of a 3-4 style scheme, some match zone concepts. And I think that it's really going to be predicated off of pressure. You have Aaron Donald, but what do you have outside of Aaron Donald that can get to the quarterback alongside Dante Fowler? You know, those guys departing, I think, is a big thing. With Corey Littleton gone, Dante Fowler gone, they got to figure out who are they going to put on that defense in terms of personnel to help get pressure. So I think right now, Brandon Staley's entering some tough waters as a first-year defensive coordinator on a Rams team that lost a lot of talent and have some question marks. I think, really, he's been a very good coach as a position coach, developing some outside linebackers. I want to mention that Malik Reed for the Denver Broncos, he was an undrafted outside backer for them. He burst onto the scene last year in the NFL, and a lot of it was due to Brandon Staley and his wise coaching and being in a scheme fit, being able to identify what players' strengths are. And I think that's something that Brandon Staley will bring to the table that is very good, is that he knows what his players can and can't do, and he's not going to try to put them in a position to do something that they're not able to do. And I think he's learned that from Vic Fangio, and I think that could definitely pay off. But ultimately, I do see them going with more likely probably his own type of guys that can fit his mold, and he's going to develop them, and he's going to have his hand on that defense. He's going to put some trust in the other position coaches to obviously take care of some other positions, but I think that you'll see him calling the defensive plays, and he'll have a strict emphasis on really kind of being around the linebackers probably.
Yeah, and we'll take a look at that in our next segment as we kind of want to go a little bit deeper into this linebacker role, but then look at some of the other plays that happen in his defense and the way that it's set up. We got more coming up with Locked On Broncos, Cody Roque, right after this. Well, we left off talking about the linebackers and really what Brandon Staley has to come into and kind of put his own imprint here. We briefly talked about that draft, but looking at the Rams' first selections at 52, they've got 2 in the third, 1 in the fourth, 6 picks overall. Is there anyone in this draft class, as you've been paying attention and kind of doing your own research, whether it's for the Broncos or not, that kind of jumps out to you that could be a good replacement as far as the linebacking group, whether it's an edge rusher or, you know, kind of a middle linebacker that you could place in there in the 3-4?
You know, I actually just displaced us. I didn't realize that the Rams aren't picking until the second round there, so they don't have that first round pick. So I think that really makes things interesting. But keep an eye on CU, a local Colorado guy, CU Buff, Davion Taylor. He's very fast. I believe he ran a 4.39 40-yard dash at his NFL comp, his pro day. Not at the NFL combine, but at his pro day that he did right before the whole quarantine mess and got everything shut down. He was very impressive. He had a very impressive pro day showing at CU. He's fast. He's rangy. I really like a guy like him. And, you know, I think there's some other options too, but I think they're all first round options unless the Rams are looking to trade up in round one, which I don't know how much capital they have to do just that. There's obviously a Patrick Queen out of LSU. There's also Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma. I just don't know if those guys will be even available. I think they're gonna be gone mid round one. So I think for the Rams, it's gonna be tough pickings, especially sitting at 52 in round number two. They are really hurting. And I think a lot of it just goes to cap purgatory, to be honest with you, Brad. Looking at what the Rams have done this offseason from an outside perspective, I just been scratching my head trying to figure out what the heck are they doing and how are they going to counteract paying a quarterback over $100 million and still having a lot of salary cap issues when it comes to that. That to me is one of the biggest obstacles I think that this Rams team is going to face in 2020.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I've been covering this team every single day and I'm still scratching my head on what they're doing as far as the cap and what their plan is. And I was originally, and just to kind of sidetrack here, but I was originally on board with the signing of Jared Goff. I was like, let's get it out of the way. Let's get ahead of the curve so we're not behind guys like Dak and having to try to compete with that. But then again, now I'm sitting here going, maybe we should just stretch this out and you know, gave him that fifth year option and kept playing this down the road a little bit and then giving us options. Cause right now it's Goff or bust at this point. And we'll see. I mean, he had one half or, you know, one down year last year, I guess. But he still has a lot to prove. It's going to be a big year, not only just for, you know, new coordinators coming into town, Sean McVay kind of taking control of personnel, but guys like Jared Goff are going to be under the gun as well to perform with those contracts. So, as we get back to the defense here, you know, we talked about guys that have kind of moved along and listening to a few quotes from Staley since he's gotten here. He's talking about having a very tough physical team that can stop the run. He seems to want to really focus on that. Was that a big thing for Denver last year in the Fangio defense, was stopping the run? And if so, how do you see them kind of doing that and trying to basically cut and paste that here in Los Angeles?
Well, yeah, that became a big portion of the Broncos' plans defensively, because in the first 4 weeks, they were averaging a lot of rushing yards per game. They were bottom last, I believe, in the NFL. They allowed over 225 yards to Leonard Fournette, and they had to find a way to stop things. So they made some adjustments. They moved Shelby Harris from nose tackle to defensive end. They placed Mike Purcell at the nose tackle position. They inserted Alexander Johnson as an inside linebacker. And once they made some of those moves there, the Broncos defense was actually really good against the run last year, and their slow start kind of put them behind in the rankings, but they're able to work their way back up. And then they became a more solidified unit, the number one red zone defense in the NFL. So I think really, Brad, it's going to be predicated off of Brandon Staley really putting together a tough defensive unit that is focusing on stopping the run and then forcing other teams to try to pass the ball. And you got to be sure that you have the guys in the secondary. If I'm not mistaken, Jalen Ramsey's back in the fold for you guys this year. Who else do you guys have in that secondary that's going to help out? Because you really are as good as your personnel. And I feel like that's where Wade Phillips, I felt, was almost made a fall guy in some points and cases in last year with how the defense had played. I felt like him being fired was a little bit of that kind of fall guy reaction due to the fact that the team struggled as a whole defensively with blown coverages and then offensively sometimes failing to score points. That was where I was really frustrated with seeing how things unfolded in LA, because I like watching the NFL in general. And so when I was watching LA, I mean, they were a fun team to watch, and obviously they battled a variety of injuries offensively, defensively. I think that is the one thing I'm looking at, to be honest with you, Brad, is I think that Brandon Staley's going to have his hands full. You've got Aaron Donald, but what do you have outside of him at the end positions and at the outside backer positions, your inside backer positions? Those are going to be the most critical. And I also think that your box safety, your strong safety, is going to be probably the most important player on that defense outside of Aaron Donald going into 2020. If they really want to focus on being a tough, stingy defense, especially when you have a division that's got now, you got Murray down there in Arizona, you got Russell Wilson in Seattle, you got Jimmy G and that offense that they got going down there in San Francisco. It's going to be a tough spread overall for the LA Rams. And I think that you have to come out and you have to embody that with toughness and bring in guys in that fit the mold and the identity of what the football team's going to do. And that's going to be stingy ball control defense. And I think that Brandon Staley's got the right philosophy. Will it translate instantly in 2020? I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, that's really good points there. And you talked about the back end. Troy Hill's on the other side of Jalen Ramsey. Both those guys are in the last year of their contract. That's why you're seeing some people with reactions when the Rams and some of these mock drafts are getting cornerbacks. People are like, well, we got these guys that have been awesome. Well, two of them, you know, aren't under contract past 2020. Deontay Dion was just brought back. We've got a few other guys, David Long Jr., a second-year player out of Michigan, they've got some high hopes for. But Nickell Robey-Coleman is gone. You're getting John Johnson safety back. That's going to be a big pickup for the Rams in 2020. And we'll see how he works with Taylor Rapp. But look for them also to maybe add another safety in there. You never know with injury. And Taylor Rapp is a guy that can kind of move into that Nickell Robey-Coleman role as you're looking at the Rams' base look with four defensive backs last year. Only 35% of their defensive plays happened that way in 2019. So we'll see how it transitions, what the difference is going to be with Staley in here. But coming up, we're going to kind of finish this out. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the good and bad with Wade Phillips and maybe what Brandon Staley can bring in and change that. We'll close this out. Coming up more with Brandon Staley. Coming up more on Brandon Staley with Locked On Broncos, Cody Rourke. So we're here with Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos. Guys, don't forget to go give him a follow on Twitter. That is Cody Rourke NFL and Locked On Broncos, doing a lot of great stuff on the network here, as well as just covering the NFL in general, always all over Twitter, putting up great content, especially as the draft is coming up, looking at tape and kind of breaking down players and where they might fit. So make sure to go check him out there. As we talked earlier about Wade Phillips here in Los Angeles, and you mentioned, kind of as maybe the scapegoat in a sense of that firing. The one thing I always think about here on the show and talked about a handful of times is I almost wonder is even if that going into that last season, if things were kind of on edge, that Wade Phillips didn't really kind of adjust the way that I think Sean McVay really wanted as they transitioned over their 3 years. Sean McVay was always, you know, about building a game plan from week to week. And Wade Phillips was basically, this is my defense. And occasionally, I think one time last year, he switched basically from a zone concept to a man-to-man concept once they got Jalen Ramsey. That was about as much as he did as far as changing. What are your take on what do you think Brandon Staley, do you think he's going to kind of go the different direction with that and kind of get a little bit more of the young generation of coaching and kind of game planning and switching things up from week to week? What did you see in Denver? Is that something that the Rams might want to expect in 2020?
You know, he comes from an old school guy, Vic Fangio. When I talk about old school, the way this guy prepares for games, he has a detailed game plan. They start game planning for their next upcoming opponent before they play their current week's opponent. They do that on about Friday. They start Friday and Saturday, once they have their walkthroughs initially, they start to have different parts of the departments start to break down film and start to break down the other opponent. So, I mean, that's where I think that Brandon Staley will benefit. Learning from a guy who's been in the NFL as a defense coordinator for a long time and a successful defense coordinator at that with Vic Fangio, I do think that's going to benefit him well. And I think also with the philosophy of being a young defensive coach alongside a young head coach in the NFL, the culture right now suggests that, look, sometimes experience trumps that. And I remember there was a theme. There's only one Sean McVay, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody's looking for the next Sean McVay. I don't believe the next Sean McVay out there exists, but I do believe that every single coach brings a unique perspective. And I think for Brandon Staley, his experience as a position coach, being around Vic Fangio and being part of that defensive install in terms of a game plan and trying to figure out how are we going to get to this quarterback? What kind of matchups are we going to try to utilize? Are we going to match this corner who's a little bit taller than this receiver? Or we want to match up a guy who's got similar speed, similar height? You know, what is the best fit? These things I think that Brandon Staley is going to do. So how Sean McVay prepares for games offensively, I think you're going to see the same exact approach from Brandon Staley as a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, that does get a little bit of exciting when you're talking about that. And you hope that even on Sean McVay's side of it, as well as bringing in an offensive coordinator, maybe that takes a little bit of load off. And now he can also now have that same preparation on the defense side of the ball. The other thing that was kind of interesting over the time period of Wade being here was he didn't really utilize the blitz as much. Going back to last year, kind of stepped it up a little bit. I think maybe that was even McVay pushing it a little bit, but they blitzed on 29% of their plays in 2019. That was 16th most in the NFL. When we're looking at the Broncos, what type of blitz packaging did they do? Was it from the linebackers? Was it, you know, corner blitz? What type of stuff did they do? Or were they pretty much straight up as far as it goes when it came to blitzing? I think the Rams, as far as looking for pressure, sometimes wanted to kind of bring more people. You got Aaron Donald on that front, but sometimes it's tempting to bring another guy, maybe a free runner at the quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought this up. I just did a film breakdown on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL about the Broncos defense, and Alexander Johnson was an inside linebacker for them. Now, one thing that they did that they had a lot of success at, so what you're going to see in the defense, if Brandon Staley does utilize this, which I imagine he would, he did have a hand on the linebacker position, but they would obviously send the edge rushers a little bit upfield, kind of wide, to almost kind of bowl the tackles out. They would send both inside linebackers on stunts, but they would send it to the same gap. They'd blitz Todd Davis right up the B gap, and he would blitz right at the running back, and then they would bring Alexander Johnson from the other side around through the same exact gap, and what would open that up is that the Broncos would use their nose tackle to cross-face to that center or that guard, which creates a free space to get pressure on the inside. So I think you might see a lot of that, and I'll tag you in it, Brad, on Twitter, so you can reference a play you might be able to see with them, especially from inside linebacker play. I do believe in a Brandon Staley defense. Aaron Donald is going to be big, as I had mentioned, but I think the two inside backers are going to be very, very critical in what they do. And I think having a really good cover guy like Jalen Ramsey, I think that's going to help out even more. So if the Rams can get pressure, how we've historically seen them do it, they don't have the players that they used to anymore. Back a couple of years ago, when their defense was all across the board with Aqib Talib, and you had other guys there that contributed, I do think that the Rams do have the personnel, I think, to maybe make this work. As of right now, I think it's a big question mark. And Brad, you know as well, you cover the Rams, you're in the Rams market every single day. Young talent, you just have question marks on, just because you don't know exactly what you have, because those veteran players that have now departed are now elsewhere. Now you got to see what these guys can do coming in. So I think that you're going to see an aggressive approach. I think you're going to see blitz from the inside linebacker. When the Broncos had Chris Harris Jr. in training camp before Bryce Callahan had a screw broken in his foot, they would blitz the nickel slot a lot. And Vic Fangio started doing that towards the end of the season as well with Will Parks, who's now Philadelphia Eagle. So I think that you're going to see some nickel blitzes. You're going to see inside backer stunts. You're going to see a lot of tackle end twists. And I think that's going to be the real big part of where you're going to see some pressure from this Rams defense. I think having Aaron Donald there too, to cross the face of that center or that guard, is going to make the defense's job so much easier from inside backer or even the safety or the nickel positions.
Yeah, anytime Aaron Donald goes anywhere, it draws two, maybe three people's attention. So that always helps you kind of get off the ground when you're talking about bringing extra people. And I love you talking about, you know, that those nickel blitzes. And I see Taylor Rapp. I just envision him because he's such a great tackler. He is such a great read and react player that I think he'd fit well into that if they could kind of build a little package around him coming in and putting on some pressure. And it's really interesting as you're talking about all this, and we're talking about all the new coordinators. This is a very interesting time because we just had an NFL channel call where all the hosts were getting on and kind of talking. And we're talking about how this offseason is going to play out and, you know, OTAs and training camp and all that being potentially pushed back and very limited roles. So guys that are brand new, and you talked about the linebacker role needing to step up, and all those guys are gone now, and all these snaps are now available for these guys to go get it. And a very interesting transition for the Rams in a weird time. This would be a good time to maybe keep things very similar, but the Rams obviously didn't really foresee all this happening, but they made a bunch of changes. So that's another thing, is how quickly can this all come together if they go draft a guy, if they've got a guy on the roster already, like Micah Kizer, who's coming off an injury, hasn't seen much playing at all on the defense side of the ball. All those things are going to kind of come into play. But if it comes together, it seems like this defense could get back to where the Rams really expect it to be, and where we saw it at times over the past couple of years. It just couldn't really build the consistency under Wade, and I think that was a big part of him leaving. But Cody, always love talking to you, always love hearing you talk football. Again, if you guys aren't following him on Twitter, if you're an NFL fan, it's a must follow, so go check him out. I appreciate you coming on, and look forward to when we get a chance to talk again a little bit more about some football, maybe post-draft, as we kind of look at and see how all this kind of shook out.
Always, my friend. Thank you so much, Brad. Always appreciate what you do, and you do a great job here with Locked On Rams.
You got it. And with that said, Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time, peace.